We made it. We have made it. It's not a month from Sunday or 2 weeks from Sunday or training camp kicking off. We are here. Regular season, week one, Buccaneers at the Saints on Sunday. I know I'm fired up, and I'm sure anybody tuning into this podcast cannot wait. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The podcast here is Monday Morning Joe, presented by Discount Garage Doors and Bill Curry Ford. So pleased to have those great sponsors on board, and we'll share a little bit more about them later. But this is your week, Bucks fans, your week for rampant optimism, as we saw on the Joe Bucks Fan poll that just ended today, Monday. The majority of fans believe, they chose to predict in our poll, the majority believe this team will win 9 or 10 games or 11 games. They believe this is a winning football team, and I'm excited. I'm excited that fans have that deep belief. I shared my picks last week. We don't have to go back there. But I see this team in the 7-9, 9-7 range, depending on how they start. You can go back and listen to last podcast where I break that down. But today we're talking Saints. We're talking what's going on with your Bucks right now. I am fresh out of the action today at One Buck Palace. And as the headline here says, I've got a special treat for you because I was able to go one-on-one with DeSean Jackson. And I've got a snippet of that recording to maybe I'll share more of it next week. But I was able to edit a piece of that recording where I just talked to him a little bit about really what's in front of him as a potential Hall of Fame candidate and as a guy who has got tremendous numbers that aren't often talked about and what he thinks of that. Also about his speed and where that stands and how he feels about his place in the game and how he handles speed within route running. It's kind of neat. Because DeSean Jackson doesn't really do a lot of one-on-one kind of interviews, and I was able to chat with him today, and I cut it up for the podcast. So we're going to get to that later. Just a neat little look into DeSean Jackson that you haven't gotten anywhere else, so always happy to say that. If you're new to the podcast, I'm one of the Joes at JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is the other one. You hear us on the Ira Kaufman podcast, or have heard us around town, and we're the Joes covering the Bucks 24/7. And we appreciate your support. The podcast itself, right there for you on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. You can subscribe, which just means you get a free alert when there's a new podcast. Usually after it posts on JoeBucksFan.com, within an hour, they throw it up there on the podcast platform automatically, and you get the alert. And feel free to leave a review. Always appreciate those. Now, today at One Buck Palace, a couple of things. There was a lot I wanted to find out. First, and you'll only hear it here on the podcast, or maybe by the time you listen to this, I wrote it up at Joe Bucks Fan, but what's Jameis doing? Well, I got to talk to quarterbacks coach Mike Bajakian, and the team's not laying out this detailed plan that Jameis has. Dirk Cutter called it a well-thought-out plan last week, but Bajakian gave me some insight. And the number one piece of insight he gave me is that Jameis is going to be following a plan that sort of mirrors the team plan as if he were here. So no, he's not going to be practicing. But as far as throwing the football, he'll have a heavier schedule on a Wednesday and a Thursday, which are the practice heavy days for the Bucks before a Sunday game. And then Jameis will throw on Sunday as well, even more. So as he manages his own schedule during this 3-week suspension, he is going to be sort of trying to simulate a game week when it comes to the volume of throws. That was what Bajakian emphasized. Like, they don't want him just going out on a Thursday night, working out with his buddies and, you know, wearing his arm out and taking Friday off and coming back Saturday and throwing again and doing his thing. No, they wanted him to be on that schedule. So when he does come back, his body's in that rhythm, and I think it's a good idea, and that was probably the biggest takeaway from that. As far as, is he working with anybody? Is he consulting with anybody? Which receivers does he have lined up? No information on that I was able to glean. What else from Bajakian today? He did say, and if I didn't mention it, that's quarterbacks coach Mike Bajakian, the glove that Jameis was wearing in the preseason on his left hand, that glove, experimental more than anything else. There's no necessary reason that will continue, but Jameis might want to do it. I did talk to Jameis after the last preseason game and ask him about that, And he just kind of, it was no big deal. It's just a glove, just trying it out. But you know what? He didn't turn the ball over in the preseason. And if the glove gives him a level of confidence, obviously you never know. Rain comes, whatever, humid. Maybe it's just psychological. Or his hands get sweaty. If he prefers the glove, you might see him stick with it. But Jake Ian, also, I asked him about the tracking of accuracy in practice, because the Bucks have somebody tracking everything through training camp. Every throw by every quarterback, they've been tracking accuracy. I think this is the third year now. It might be the second, but it doesn't matter. I asked him about that, and he wouldn't give me an answer. I told him, I said, hey, fans like to know, hey, it was Fitz 2% better this summer, and Jameis, whatever. He wouldn't give me any numbers. So the lockdown of information at One Buck is in full swing. Now, there were some questions for Dirk Koetter today as well that I had, and it's a little bizarre what's going on with Koetter on a few fronts. But first, Discount Garage Doors, they're right there for you at dgdoors.com, and you can call 24/7 866-420-DOOR. 866-420-DOOR. That's the phone number. Discount Garage Doors will come to your house free. Same day, free service call. That's their motto. That's their goal. Same day, free service call. And they'll give you a complete diagnosis of what's going on with your garage door. And if you want them to fix it, their trained technician can do that in most cases. Otherwise, shop around. No charge, there's no hook, there's no catch. Same day free service call. Also, Discount Garage Doors has a great selection of new doors. And their name lets you know you can expect a fantastic price. And they will meet and match and beat prices as well. Discount Garage Doors. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Joe Bucks Fan. They service 18 counties across Florida. They're a local Tampa Bay area company, not like some of these other national dames you hear out there. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. There are coupons there as well, and you can shop doors and see all the neat things they do. Hurricane season, hey, it's popped up. It smacked us in the face again. We're hearing reports of Gordon and what's going on out there. It's a good reminder, get that garage door ready for hurricane season, and at least have it checked out if you have a problem. Discount Garage Doors. Now, at One Buck today, I asked Dirk Koetter the simple question, are you ready to share who's going to be the play caller? He said, no. Thanks, appreciate you asking. So he's going to carry this secret all the way till opening day. And I don't have a problem with it. It really doesn't matter, but it is interesting. I think he just feels there's a competitive chess game advantage here somehow. Maybe the Saints, who have watched him call plays for the Bucks for 3 years, maybe he wants them thinking that he won't do it, and they'll look for tendencies in Monken and drive their defense a little bit crazy. Who knows? We all know the bad blood that Koetter has with Sean Payton. They can pretend that it's no big deal, but we all saw what happened at the end of last year's game when they were playing some slappies, and Payton was still mad 2 months later about the Mike Evans incident with Marshawn Lattimore and the whole Jameis finger pointing and all that stuff. It's real. In the locker room today, I asked Ali Marpet about that. He said since it happened after the last game, and if you haven't seen the video, it should be at joebucksfan.com, either on the homepage or one page back. He said the guys in the locker room, they didn't really talk about it too much because the next day was the end of the season. They're clearing out their lockers. Everybody's out there, whatever. But they're aware of the beef between Koetter and Payton. And Mike Evans brought it up today flat out. And said he knows all about it. So, and you know, maybe it enhances the rivalry. Who knows? But it's real. These guys are both serious competitors. Koetter, Payton. And I think this is just a mind game. I would bet anything that Koetter continues to call the plays. There's always a shot that he thinks Monken is better at it. That he really believes that. But I don't buy it for a second. But, you know, maybe I'll hold out a 6% chance that that happens. But I'm happy with Koetter calling the plays. Let's put it this way. I don't think the Glazers, with all the issues this offseason, sat around their conference table and said, you know what, maybe Dirk shouldn't call plays. That's not the case. The red zone execution sucked. They still moved the ball up and down the field. They still were second in the league in third down conversion, tops in the conference. Koetter's calling plays. Before I get over to DeSean Jackson, just because it's fun and I want to share that, just a different kind of look at DeSean Jackson. Want to mention our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, new general manager Sean Sullivan, a friend of mine. He is a true stick carrier a Buccaneers fan since his earliest days, he invites all listeners and their families down to Bill Curry Ford to see the savings they are offering to the Tampa community. Go online, BillCurryFord.com, select the car you're interested in, and the price will be clearly displayed there. And just for using the words Joe Bucks fan, you will receive an additional $500 savings. It's that easy. Again, General Manager Sean Sullivan, Bill Curry Ford, come enjoy the Curry experience that has proudly served the Tampa community for 58 years. 58 years just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. BillCurryFord.com is the website. Bill Curry Ford, $500 off. Go shopping online. Reach out to Sean Sullivan. Head over to the dealership. Wonderful opportunity. BillCurryFord.com. Now, I mentioned DeSean Jackson. It's been on my list for a while to ask DeSean Jackson about his where he stands statistically in the league and how he feels about his Hall of Fame chances, how he feels about, hey, a good DeSean Jackson year this year, 1,000 yards, that's going to push him to 40th all-time in receiving yards. And he's far from done. DeSean Jackson, at 17.3 yards per reception, that's the second-best mark this century of anyone who's played this century in the NFL. Now, years ago, 70s, 80s, they threw deeper balls. Wide receivers caught fewer balls. It was a different game. But in the modern era, we'll call it the modern era, DeSean Jackson's number two behind Devery Henderson. I talked to him about that, his speed, his route running, and we talked more, but I'm just sharing that part of the interview here that I was able to cut up. So enjoy. This is DeSean Jackson. All-time NFL, you're 52nd. With 9,487 yards. If you have a typical year this year, you know, 1,000 yards for DeSean Jackson, you're going to be in the top 40 all time. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you? I mean, how much are you into the football history?
I mean, you know, just trying to stay as consistent as possible and just, you know, leave a legacy, you know, when I'm all said and done with this, you know, career. Try not to really think about it too much, but, you know, just definitely know I'm on a task to break 10,000, so hopefully we have one of them great years.
Yards per catch. Mm-hmm. You're the second highest in this century.
Right.
All right. You know, old time football was through deeper, but 17.3, that's number two in this century. Do you take a lot of pride in that yards per catch?
Yeah, man, I just, like I say, man, the biggest thing is just going out there and just working my perfection and just doing what I'm able to do to, you know, help create, you know, explosive plays and big plays for my team. So try not to get too much into the numbers, you know, especially while I'm playing. Try to just focus on my production and doing the best I can to, you know, just be that guy to help my team. So besides that, I mean, it's all said and done. Hopefully I can, like I say, leave some great numbers and some great legacy.
In the NFL charts, like who's the fastest guy with the computer chips and the, you know, you've been up there. You know, I don't know if you've looked at those, but do you still take a ton of pride in that, hey, maybe you are the fastest guy in the league or darn close to it?
I definitely think I could be up there with the top, you know, guys in the league and still, you know, be fast. You know, being 31, you know, got a lot of them young dudes is coming in pretty fast, but still like my odds and I, you know, put me up against anybody. So, you know, the big thing about me, like I really don't always have to use my, you know, 100% speed because I'm so fast. So I just gauge that and just use it when I need to.
Talking to Andy Reid, he said DeSean Jackson is the one guy who can change speeds through his route. He can he can go fast, slow, and one of the few guys who can really adjust like that. Mm-hmm. Is that something you learned as a kid to sort of focus on the act of running?
Yeah, I just really just give credit to my track coach. You know, I've been working with him my whole life, so he's able to teach me, you know, gears and when I need to use them, when I don't, when I need to decelerate, when I need to accelerate. So just really using that and judging on the field because, you know, football is all about in control. You know, if you run too fast, sometimes you might not get to your break and you might not be able to get out of your break. So just knowing that, engaging that. So that's, you know, I give credit to my track coach.
Really happy I was able to share that with you. Pretty cool insight with Jackson there talking about his gears and his running. For those of you diehard Joe Bucks fan readers, remember Ira Kaufman had a column two Pro Bowls ago from Andy Reid who talked to him about DeSean Jackson changing and adjusting and shifting gears with the ball in the air and just how he's extremely unique that way. And that would be on the Bucks to, it was two Pro Bowls ago to figure out how to use that. And that could be some insight right there into why maybe it takes a little more time to get used to throwing to DeSean Jackson. Or on the flip side, maybe he's a much easier guy to throw to because he knows how to shift gears and adjust better than most. But Jackson, I think, is poised for a huge year this year. I think he's one of those freakish elite athletes, and he's still young, as those freak elite athletes go. And you know what? He knows the offense. Ryan Fitzpatrick knows the offense and should be able to see that Jackson is the guy open in various ways. And there's a lot of cushion on Jackson because that's just the nature of covering him. And I just see a lot of catches and a lot of impact from Jackson this year. So a little different look at him. Happy to deliver that. While I'm doing this podcast, I'm seeing that Carl Nassib was claimed off waivers by the Bucks. Sort of a journeyman defensive lineman from the Browns. Guy was waived on Sunday. Former third-round pick. I say journeyman because not because he's been around the league, but because he really hasn't done very much. But it is the Browns, and I would assume Jason Light and his team had a solid grade on him out of the 2016 draft when they took Noah Spence in the second round. So, but not exactly an earth-shattering move by the Bucks. But hey, the defensive line is what this team is all about. This offseason was all about the D-line. There's no denying it. And here we are. We got a game on Sunday. We've got the Saints, who are built up the gut with Max Unger at center. Everybody forgets, or not everybody, but some people forget that the Saints traded Jimmy Graham to the Seahawks for Max Unger because Sean Payton is obsessed with the interior of his offensive line, and it's a very strong offensive line. But here we are. We're going to assume we're without Vita Vea, who was not practicing today. I got out to one buck. I'm looking around, and there's Vea. There's a picture on JoeBucksFan.com. He's standing there talking while the guys are stretching. He's talking to Brenton Buckner and the other assistant D-line coach, Paul Spicer. And Vea's just kind of wearing a sweatshirt, and he's got his hair up, and he's wearing gray shorts. And I'm just asking myself, why? Why is he not cleared to stretch with his teammates? Now, I understand there are practice protocols. If you're not practicing, you're not practicing. But, man, he's not cleared to stretch and walk around the field with these guys in lockstep, standing there with their drills. Sometimes he's around. Sometimes he's not. It's, I don't know. Don't know what's going on. All I know with Vea is that it has been 5 weeks. 5 weeks and one day since he has been on the practice field. I saw him riding the exercise bike in Tennessee. And all I can assume is the Bucks are being cautious with him and that they told him, the doctors said it's a 4 to 6 week injury. And, they're going to give it the full 6 weeks to not rush the rookie, which is probably smart, but it is a little frustrating. But anyway, the defensive line, look, this team is going to go defensively where the defensive line takes them. I'm not expecting heroics from the linebackers and certainly not from the secondary. It's going to go as this D-line goes. And what's interesting is that the rotation is gone at this point. Gone. Vita Vea out and Mitch Unrein, concussion, the free agent from the Bears, injured reserve, earliest he'll play is week 9. He's gone. So you got two pieces of that ideal 8-man rotation. They're gone. Now you got Noah Spence, who's not the player they hoped he would be. Not yet this season. Not playing in the fourth preseason game and just not impressing at one buck. I can promise you that. So he's kind of out of the rotation in the way that they thought he would be. You got Will Golston, who didn't have the best camp, who had an okay preseason, but he showed he could play defensive tackle. You got Jarrell Worthy, a new guy from the Packers. Dirk Cutter said today, hey, Worthy's just one of those guys, he was out of the game. Maybe sometimes you get a little extra hungry when you've tasted what it's like to not be in the game. And I talked to Worthy after Friday night's game. He was with the Bills the last 3 years. Thursday night's game. And Worthy, some of you saw the story. I'm not going to reset the whole thing. But he was in the locker room. He was the last one in there. And I try to be, if I can, the last one in there just to see what's going on. You got all the equipment guys cleaning up and the cleanup crews in there. 90 guys in a preseason locker room is a mess. And there's Jarrell Worthy buttoning his shirt, looking around like, man, I don't want to leave here. And I got a chance to talk to him. And it was actually, I didn't have my recorder out. So it was sort of an implied off the record a little bit. I wanted to meet him because I had a feeling he would make the team. And he did. but he's going to be rotating in. Bo Allen is not a full-time guy. Not a full-time guy as far as snaps. He only played like 48% in Philly. So we're going to see Jarrell Worthy in this mix at nose tackle. Vinny Curry, remember, he's still adjusting to the defense. This is all in the Saints game, in my opinion. This is all about JPP, Gerald McCoy, playing 85% of the snaps and balling out. Because this is going to be as healthy as we're ever going to get him. Right? Defensive linemen, they get banged up as the season goes. These guys are workout warriors. They're serious, dedicated veterans. Even though JPP didn't show up for OTAs, they know how to be ready for opening day. And this is as healthy as you're going to get these guys who get banged up. So I think the key to the Saints beating the Saints is right there, frankly, with McCoy and JPP having monster games, not just average games, but monster games. And, you know, stuffing the run, making them one-dimensional. We don't have to go through all the elements here, but if you can stop the Saints from running, and Kamara is impressive in short spurts, but he's not a 15-carry-a-game guy. He's a compliment to Mark Ingram, who's not there. That's where I think they win this, if JPP and Gerald McCoy have monster games. Otherwise, the Saints are probably going to score 28, 30, and I'm a little worried about the offensive line. Donovan Smith not a practice. That can cause some pre-snap penalties. That stuff adds up. Those are drive killers. Yes, I expect Fitzpatrick to play well, but still, Fitzpatrick versus Breeze, the Superdome, the beasts of the defensive line have got to come up big. And also Brent Grimes, Justin Evans, those guys tend to get banged up. This might be the healthiest you get them all year. So I think the Bucs, they have enough star power, enough juice to slow down the Saints enough to win this game. So I'm going to predict, I'll just throw it out right here. You know what? The worst I see the Bucs doing this year is 7-9. I'm going to call this as a W. I'm going to pick the Bucs to win. I'm feeling it. I want it to happen. But I think this is, of the three games, of the opening three games, I think this might be their best shot. Division game. They know they can beat the Saints. There are no mental issues coming into this game. They're fired up. It is a rivalry. Fitz is going to be, I just think they're going to win this game. I'm going to call it. I'm going to say 30-28 Bucks with big games from McCoy and JPP. And when I say big games, it doesn't mean tons of sack totals. They're just going to play really, really strong and help snuff that run out with and make those linebackers better. So, hey, how about that? A prediction, an excitable prediction for victory. At one buck today, though, buzzing around the locker room. A good vibe. A lot of guys in the locker room, which you don't usually see. Sometimes, you know, they clear out during the media session, but it was an extended media session. A lot of guys around, a lot of guys upbeat, pretty much everybody chatting or available to chat, which was kind of cool. It doesn't happen all the time. Mike Evans. I asked Mike Evans about his playing in the Superdome because he has been very clear to me separately. He's said it publicly before. But in years past, he does not like playing in domes. Doesn't like it. Doesn't like the lights. Doesn't like the adjustment. But he made it clear that, hey, because I asked him if practicing in the indoor facility has helped his game. Does he feel it'll help his game in the dome? And he said, yeah. Yeah, he really liked the way that makes a difference in his mind, adjusting from the light to the indoors as the Bucks went from training camp practice outside, change periods, move indoors for the end. He thought that light adjustment was good practice for the Superdome and the other domes, and he's upbeat about it. And you know what? If that just gets in his head a little bit, that he's more confident playing in a dome, that could be a good thing, could take hold on Monday. It's certainly not the first dome he's going to be in this summer when he shows up in the Superdome, and they'll have a practice or two, I'm sure, at least a walkthrough and some throwing the ball around in the indoor facility, especially with the weather forecast here locally. So, hey, I thought that was kind of neat. And we're looking for every edge we can freaking get as Bucks fans to get a W on opening day. Dirk Koetter is 2-0 on opening days. He knows how to get this team ready for week one. Week two, he's a train wreck. But week one, Dirk Koetter knows what he's doing. I asked him about that today. He didn't really want to talk. He's feisty. He's fired up. And it's fun to see. You know, we fight as Bucks fans to get to this place. to get to a place of hope. And I'm hopeful, but I'm skeptical at the same time. And but you know what? When that whistle blows, and make no mistake, a lot of people read Joe Buck's fan. Probably the worst thing that I've heard all summer was three different people, and I don't know them personally, but people that I sort of know. You know, I know a lot of people as JoeBucksFan.com. We know a lot of people, but a few people came up to me who should know the answer, although they don't know me personally, and said, I just always wanted to know, are you really a Bucks fan? And all I could think of is the equivalent of that is my wife coming up to me. I've been married, you know, got married young. I've been married 20 plus years already. It's the equivalent of my wife coming up to me and saying, are you sure you're not gay? I don't know how else to say it. It's just like, no, of course not. And of course I'm a Bucks fan. And of course we're Buck fans at Bucks fans at JoeBucksFan.com. We've even forced Ira Kaufman to jump out of his BS, you know, journalism hat, I can't take a side mode. And he'll admit now, and it should be clear in his columns, that he's a Bucks fan too. I don't think there's any problem with it in any way journalistically. We could talk about that. I could talk about that for hours. But yeah, absolutely. Lee DeKemper and I got into this thing as Bucks fans. He was the season ticket holder. I was a guy who walked out of my job on that Sunday. It might have been a Saturday, but I'm sure it was a Sunday. Walked out of my professional job. Yes, a professional job on Sunday. To go to the Buccaneers playoff game against the Giants, the last one. Hey, if I got fired, I got fired. It was that important to me. And we started up this blog at JoeBucksFan.com because we felt we could do better for fans and wanted to write in a way that we would enjoy as fans, the way we would talk sitting around having beers. And that's never changed. Not even the design of the site and the way we do things. And there's a lot more we could do that we don't do because we're fans. And it doesn't mean we're high to, you know, engaging in cover-ups. It just means, and that's where the genesis is, and that's where it will be. And that's why I don't have a problem looking Dirk Cutter or Jason Light or these other executives in the face and say, hey, you know, we care more about the team than you do because we were here before you were here and we'll be here after. And I assure you, any coach or GM, it's very rare to see them wearing their Bucks gear once they're ousted from one Buck place, from Chucky to Bruce Allen to you name it. I'm a Bucks fan for life, and I'm proud to say it. All right, enough of that. I feel like I'm waving a flag. It's driving me a little nuts here, but you get the idea. I just felt I had to not defend myself, but make it very clear that we're here for the love of the team. You know, it's one reason why I made sure that we've shared all of these episodes of The Current, which is the new Hard Knocks feature, like style feature that the Bucks have been putting out, investing a lot of video money and a lot of resources to create, 10-minute looks every week through training camp. And I hope it continues through the regular season. I haven't asked, but they put it out on YouTube so we can share it. And, you know, and now you look at the money they spent to send probably a team of three up to Idaho, Pocatello, Idaho, this summer to do a neat feature on Dirk Cutter, which I highly recommend. It's on their website. It's on our website. 10 minutes background into Cutter, his parents, the guy living in his old house, ex-coaches, ex-business partners, friends. It's pretty cool. Now, it's one-sided because it's from the team website, but it doesn't take away from the investment. And Glazers, if you're listening, keep investing to help people bond with this team, to let them know who these guys are and everything you can about them, because that's what gets you connected to the team. Another thing that connects you with the team is being with fans. And I know there'll be a lot of Bucks fans in New Orleans this weekend, Sunday's game. Well, Saturday night before the game, Manning's Sports Bar, Saturday night before the game, Lee from Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman, a lot of stick carriers, Justin Pulowski, bunch of other fans are meeting at Manning's Sports Bar in New Orleans, 5:00, Saturday night, 5:00. Call it a pep rally, call it a little gathering, whatever you want to call it. Ira's got a little speech ready to give people some insight and have some fun. The commish, Justin's going to rile up the crowd, other fans, We have a special guest who's been invited. I can't say he's going to attend. I don't want to embarrass him, but could be a very special guest there. And just going to be a great time to bond with fans. Note, we're not all sitting together at the game. I'm not actually going to the game, but even the fans going, they're all sitting different places. But the unity, it's important, and it builds the fan base. And we all want to be fans of the best team in the league and also the team with the best fans. And it starts small and grows big. It revolves around winning, but to be together, as many of you have seen at draft parties, can be a lot of fun. Can definitely be a lot of fun. It helps the experience, and hey, hopefully a Bucks W is there. FanRetreat.com, you can see the full retreat if you still want tickets. If you still want to book your flights, whatever, you can do it. One-stop shop. It's an event site for sports fans. FanRetreat.com. Click on Popular Retreats. You'll see the Bourbon Street takeover right there. As far as this game, this is getting a little bit deeper into the X's and O's. What I think is going to happen is Dirk Cutter, there's no question in my mind that he's going to come out and try to establish the run. You don't buy Ryan Jensen in free agency and move Ali Marpet and do all the things that they've done with that line without trying to establish that run early. I think it would be a mistake not to do that, because you got to see if it's there. And we all know the value of a good running game, but I don't think you can come out in New Orleans slinging the ball around, and if it doesn't go well early, that gets the crowd going, incompletion, whatever. I think you got to settle the crowd down, especially if you have a left tackle that's not Donovan Smith. You want that guy to be able to breathe versus Fitzpatrick, you know, dropping back in the shotgun or slinging the ball around. You want this guy to be able to just block the guy in front of him and slow the game down early. I think Cutter's going to try to do that with Peyton Barber. And you know what? Without Doug Martin and with Peyton Barber running well, I think this team wants to see how good Barber can be. So I really think the Bucks are going to try to establish that run. Every coach will say they want to do that anyway, but I think the Bucks are going to go over the top with it in really trying to be physical, set a tone for the entire team, try to ram it down their throat, even if it takes two series. I think you'll see that from the Bucks really pounding the rock early and building off that. And I hope it works. I like Barber, and, you know, that's why they got Jensen. They didn't get him here to pass block. They got him here to maul and to set it up with his guards to be that type of team that they haven't been before. Alan Cross has played well as a fullback. I think you'll even see some fullback sets. Dirk Cutter is going to be very careful to keep Ryan Fitzpatrick upright, and he'll open it up later. That's just the way I see the game going. Another thing to look for, the kicker, Catanzaro, whatever. The regular season's a different animal. Show some confidence. Have your team be confident. All the stuff that I've talked about before with the Bucks being a little bit mentally weak, everything you can do to wipe that out helps, in my opinion. Running the ball, even just establishing it early. Hey, it's not last year. We're running the ball in the first quarter. Hey, we made a 46-yard field goal. It's not last year. I think all the more you can do with that, the better off this team's going to be mentally, because, you know, in these division games, unless you get blown out, it's a test of wills and a test of willingness to be physical that wins these games. All right, enough of me bloviating here. Monday Morning Joe podcast again, dgdoors.com for discount garage doors, billcurryford.com, $500 off. Just go online, find a car, go to Sean Sullivan, $500 off, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa tradition, right there on Dale Mabry. We appreciate their support. And please support the other podcasts on joebucksfan.com. If you like fantasy football, Todd Wright is fantastic. A lot of good information in his podcast. Always some different perspective. Every Thursday, Bobby Fenton, the free stretch, year two. Never missed an episode. Bobby's a Tampa native, lifelong Bucks fan. Does a great job with his podcast. It's fun. And many of you remember Bobby from sports radio, and he had a national show for a while as well, till he changed his career focus. And that's presented by Bill Curry Ford. Ira Kaufman podcast, The Commish. Is there anybody better than The Commish? Bucks Uncensored. We're happy to bring you this family of podcasts and support it. You can subscribe to them all. It's free. You can get a little alert. Great stuff. I listened to Justin's podcast this morning, driving home, or this afternoon, driving home from $1. So, Bucks fans, thank you. JoeBucksFan.com. Keep supporting us. We are trying to support you by going around the clock with our coverage and our passion, and it never ends. And see you next week.